Welcome, and you're listening to a Queued Up Media Group production of Geekologist Radio, a division of the Ninja Pancake family.
Welcome, and you're listening to Queued Up Media Group production of Geekologist Radio, a division of the Ninja Pancake family podcast.
You got so excited that you did so well, you're just like, I got all of those words.
Do exactly what Cajun did last week. He was like, mash my podcast now.
Shut up and sit down.
Hey, it's Damien, and welcome to Geekologist Radio, where we take you through our queue into our gaming systems and ride that hype train with the past into the future. Let's introduce our crew for tonight's cast. First up, we have Caucasian Saint. Derek, what's up?
I'm here wearing a regular shirt this time because we're not doing it live. It wasn't like we did it live last time anyway because technical difficulties and all that jazz. Sorry.
Yeah, that I'll get to that on error and omissions. Next up, we have Chris Tuwolf. Chris, what's going on?
I'd like to get into error and omissions. Right now, Xbox has an error, and that's $4.99 for the cost of the Xbox One X.
Okay. So we're going there. We're going there. Okay. All right. Well, first off, an error and omissions. Yeah. So I've been having some issues with my connectivity, my network, home network. Whatever was going on, somehow it was actually acting like a firewall to Brandon's.
Did you get the Nighthawk?
Did get the Nighthawk. He hasn't totally set it up yet, but once we get it set up, my Nighthawk will actually be known as hashtag Vouch Knows the Ladies. I'm just saying, I already told him I will do that. But yeah, the Nighthawk has been doing brilliant work for the family. Everybody's been able to play games. My son's been able to connect up with his friends.
When your Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi network is Vouch Knows the Ladies.
That's required to get it set up.
The Nighthawk is doing amazing things. We're actually able to connect everything and not have any issues.
So if your Wi-Fi goes down, does he really know the ladies any longer?
He just needs a pill then. He just needs a pill.
Faust forgot about the ladies. Internet's down. Ladies.
We don't love if it goes up and down, it's an issue.
But if you talk about that, then if it's up for longer than 4 hours, I have to call a doctor.
Exactly. I was about to go the 4 hour route. Thank you, sir.
So, definitely we want it to stay up. So, are we going with the pump? Anyway,
No need for a surge protector.
Listen, actually, never mind. I'll talk about that later at another time. So, first up, we're going to go into our queue.
We switched round and round till half past dawn. There was 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on.
All right, so first up in our queue is Wonder Woman. Now, we've been busy with a lot of stuff lately, but we would be remiss to not cover Wonder Woman. But I'm the only one that's seen it. And one thing I do want to cover is that we did get some feedback from fans that we get a little too spoilery in some of our coverages, so we're going to try to separate out a lot of spoilers, not talk about spoilers and shows and things we cover that our fans might be interested in, especially stuff that's current, because we consume things at a faster pace than they do, or y'all do in most cases. So we're going to try to cut back on that. But if there is a time where we want to go into spoilers, we will kind of clear that at the start and put a timestamp in the show notes so you can skip ahead, so you don't have to skip an episode if you're afraid you want to watch something and then jump ahead to it.
All right. Chris? So here's our spoiler-free version. There's a girl called Gal Gadot. She is Wonder Woman. She kicks some ass. Okay, that's the end of the movie. All right, now we're heading into spoiler territory.
Actually, everything I'm going to say is not spoiler territory, but that is a good summary right there. Now, spoiler-free complete review of Wonder Woman right now, but they had great character development for Wonder Woman. I thought they really showed her coming into that role, what she was all about, and her past and the Amazon's past and everything really well. I thought that was done. Chris Pine was good. Gal Gadot was great. Gal Gadot, Gal Gadot, Gal whatever. There's even debates online how to pronounce her last name. I don't know. I think she says it with a T. I don't know. But she was pitch perfect as Wonder Woman to the point where could hardly see her being and doing anything else, because it's like, this is obviously Wonder Woman. She can't be anything else. Now,
she started in Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, but I can't even see that anymore. Like, I saw Fast and Furious 1 and 2. They were over a decade ago history for me. And but, man, she's Wonder Woman now. This is, you can't see her anything else. Yeah.
The thing for me was friends of mine in real life, in Twitter, whatever not, going, females specifically, going to see this movie and having a female lead character who they could relate to and take their daughters to, or just champion. So when they're in a conversation with a guy, you know, basically, hey, I'm an Iron Man fan. I'm a Captain America fan. Well, guess what? I'm a Wonder Woman fan, and she could probably kick his ass. And so, like, that's, for me, it was really nice to see. And it was also nice to see that this got a huge bolstering of over $100 million in its first weekend. So for DC, this is a huge victory. For women, again, a huge victory, especially having a lead female character and also the highest grossing film of any female director in history for the first weekend, which was a huge deal. And the other thing was, is this woman was getting shit after winning an Academy Award for Best Director for a film that she had directed, and then had to wait an extended period of time in order to get this film. So it was just a really big deal culturally for a lot of people. And so it was really, really nice to see. It's everything we had hoped for out of Wonder Woman.
The other thing I wanted to say about this, and this is actually just going into like the marketing of Wonder Woman, and how cool is it to go down a toy aisle that's usually dominated by dolls and for shopping and everything else, and then you're going in to see, and you see like Barbie style Wonder Woman dolls, but she's got her shield, she's got her sword. I mean, it's just spot on. Like,
yes, there's stuff behind Damien right now. His house is, there's hands coming out of doorways and everything. But there was a really good point made by a reviewer that watched the movie, and he said that when he was watching it in his review session, that there was a woman that yelled out in the movie, I've been waiting my whole life for this. Because she was waiting for a female lead superhero. There's been female leads in movies, but none of the powerful fighting type. And so a good point was made to that, and also in reference to you're probably going to hear people say that in movie theaters and media when Black Panther comes out, people waiting their whole lives for a black superhero to be center screen on stage as well. But one of the things that was one of the best, was probably the best solo superhero fight in any movie ever, is this battle at No Man's Land. So the one when you see in the previews where she's stepping out of the bunker, that scene, because I'm not giving any spoilers for that because you've seen that part, but the continuation of that scene is probably one of the best fights in any superhero movie ever. I think hands down, that is across, when you hear anybody talking about it and they ask what's their best scene, everybody's going to say that scene. It's so dang good, start to finish. Fantastic.
I know that the movie itself has got a really, we're talking about how great it is,
mm-hmm.
but the third act, meaning the final.
Right. I was about to get into that.
Final scene has taken a lot of gruff. It's overlooked for the rest of the film.
Right.
But it has a very BVS feel to it. I haven't seen it. Am I off? Because
oh, that's what I. That's it's what I've written heard. Right there. I was four sentences away, man. You were on it exactly. So, yeah. So the few negatives on it was that one was that the final fight was too similar to BVS and it had way too much CG.
Okay.
So it was just like, whoa, like. When did Zack Snyder direct this final scene? It's almost like that's our thing. Like, we have to do a scene like this. But and Patty Jenkins might have been hand-tied to do a scene like that, but the whole rest of the movie was nothing like that scene. So it felt really out of place. The third act villain wasn't really fleshed out. It was just kind of came out of nowhere to me. And I was like, well, that was too fast exposition to just kind of lead into this. And I'm kind of confused right now. And who really are you again for a bit? So that wasn't fleshed out. And one other negative, and that's a smaller one, was the beats in the movie were a little too parallel to Captain America, First Avenger. Mm-hmm. So they were a little too similar to that. And those are the only negatives. One other positive was, I think as a movie, this is probably the best solo superhero movie. And I said Doctor Strange probably topped that cake with me last time, but there's a couple of things I think why it beats it. Because there was better first two acts in this one than Doctor Strange, but Doctor Strange had a far better third act. So I think those weighed right there, and I think especially the initial character development. I liked Wonder Woman significantly better than Doctor Strange, so I think that's where this one takes the cake for me. For me, I'll give this movie probably 8.5 out of 10, and the third act is where it loses all its points for me. It's still strong, but it's like, oh man, it seemed out of place.
Yeah. Not a lot of connection to Justice League. Did that bother you, or a flashback? Even people who waited at the end of the movie thinking they were going to get a Marvel cutscene of some sort to connect you to Justice League.
I would have loved if they would have done what Guardians of the Galaxy did and said we have a bunch of them at the end, or done what was it Logan director did. It's like we don't have one at the end. Comic book movie fans we're trained to stay at the end of these movies because there's going to be normally something at the end. If you're not going to put something in there, please let us know. Save us 10, 15 minutes of our lives, everybody, and just say there is no cutscene at the end of this one, because a lot of people were staying at the end of it and there was nothing, especially with Justice League coming. Justice League's right around the corner. It's the next movie and there's no cutscene leading into it. Come on now. That was a misstep by their part.
How much pressure does this put on Marvel for Captain Marvel now? Because like now it's like Captain Marvel has to literally do the, okay, hold my beer, because now I'm going after this. So like if not, you're holed up to a really high standard now of the highest grossing female and female directed film of all time in the first week. You know, this is a big shoe to fill. Although that third act, if Captain Marvel can nail it, would be a big to do, because then it'd be like, oh, Marvel just doing Marvel. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like we can nail the whole damn movie. So what are your thoughts on that?
So I think that they will, and Captain Marvel, they probably will do a better job because of how they set up their movies and in their third acts. They always have some big surprise that's well fleshed out throughout the movie instead of it being a surprise. I think that's going to be better, but one thing they haven't done as well as this one was just set up the character as a strong, confident female lead with a solid moral core and very few weaknesses. Because I think that plays so well, because y'all were saying something earlier and I thought about the point and then we didn't go off to it. But many times throughout when I was watching this movie, I thought, man, when my daughter is old enough, 10, 11, 12, and would understand movies like this, I want to watch this movie with her and I just want to watch her face. I want to watch her watch this movie and just be like super excited into it. Like she's 3 right now. Like she does Moana. She watches Moana and she's singing the songs and just like glued to it, singing every song. And I'm like, yes, love that. But I want to do it in this one where it's also, and Moana's a good example of that too, really strong female lead who doesn't have all the flaws of other female leads in other Disney movies in that scenario as well. So yeah. There's a big hope for me to be able to do that years down the road.
Talking about that with touch on the base with Derek on that. Yeah, see, my daughter, I want to make sure that she goes and sees it. I'm a stepfather, and my first Halloween with my daughter, she, you know, she's a little baby, but she was dressed as Wonder Woman, And so it's like, and I have all these pictures of her, and she, anytime Wonder Woman would come on as a little girl, she would get all excited and remember that she dressed as Wonder Woman one time when she was little from pictures, and she would go grab like a Captain America shield or something like that because she didn't have a Wonder Woman shield. Now, fast forward to this time, being able to actually, I as soon as I can get her in, take her in to sit down and watch this film with her, mm-hmm. I do want to see her reaction to that because it's kind of been a bit of family history for us.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
So do you feel like these companies are going to go to individual films? Meaning Wonder Woman is going to do the Justice League film, but then go right back to an individual Wonder Woman 2 that doesn't deal with Justice League? Or do you think they're going to incorporate Justice League into that universe and then move from there?
I think that Wonder Woman, because of the success of this one, because DC, we've talked about it ad nauseum. DC has had terrible reviews, movies that a lot of people didn't like, although they did good at box office, mm-hmm. that I think the success of this one, both critically and financially, is going to get a Wonder Woman 2. There was news made that Patty Jenkins, the director, was not signed on for a second movie.
But she should be. Like, I mean, that's...
Exactly. That was DC's fault.
Zack Snyder, like, get your ass back into that seat.
Yeah. That was DC's fault not signing her because they didn't even know if they wanted to do a second movie because they had so much other stuff. Like, I just don't even know if we can even make one, if this is going to be good or not. Now that it is successful, it is a misstep by them because if they had signed her for two, then she would have been locked in for money. Now she can say whatever she wants because this is DC Extended Universe's first critical and financial success at the box office.
They're going to have to pony up for sure.
Since Christopher Nolan. Yep. So, yeah, they're going to pony up. She's going to get paid. They're going to make a second one. What I like about this one is... they can make a second one and doesn't have to do anything with the Justice League universe because this first one took place in World War I. We know she's alive in modern times 100 years later and hasn't aged. They can do a prequel Justice League movie and still be a sequel to Wonder Woman, do it, say, in World War II or do something else. Continue on this one with how she interacts with the world because of we know she's been around all that time. So we don't have to get her caught up. We don't have to see her with other modern superheroes, and she can stand alone.
The only problem with
Wonder Woman takes on Al Capone.
The problem is Wonder Woman doesn't have a number one adversary.
She doesn't have a strong rogues gallery.
So it's cool.
What about Darkseid? No. I know she's tied. I know she's gone against Darkseid before.
What's the cat? Cheetah or
not Chitara, because that's a totally different...
No, I think it's
totally
Cheetah.
Totally is it Cheetah?
Cheetah.
Okay, so I wasn't off. But that's still not a strong enough character that would resonate with an everyday person who would be like, okay, I know who the Joker is. I know who the Riddler is. So it's different for her. So having to find somebody that can be competitive... Remember, she's Superman, but female. So, like, I mean, you have to find somebody who can hold their own with her.
Right. One point I want to make was, I don't remember the exact dialogue, but... in one of the final scenes of Batman versus Superman, she talks about defeating other big villains. It was like either gods or tough creatures or something like that she talks about in the past. So that would hint at there's more to her from then till now. So you can definitely fill in those gaps of the creatures or beings she's beaten over time. With plenty of movies and standalone, and not be forced by fans to tie in the other Justice League characters into it because of the timeline. Because you can do stuff where she sits by herself and still be that lead and not have to bring them into it. And you can do some, I mean, DC has enough of it. They can bring in some of their B team into this and still make interesting stuff. I mean, we've seen the trailers. We know Dr. Poison is a villain in it. That was like a barely known character and it was still a strong villain. So.
But Dr. Poison was a B character in that movie, right? A B villain. Like, that wasn't the A villain.
Right. Yeah, I'm not going to give away who the third act villain.
Third act
villain was. But yes, as we know, in every superhero movie, they show villains in the trailers, and they're the one or two villain, and then the third act one's the big one. Was a strong enough, compelling character and villain to hate. It was played well enough. It was didn't even matter that the name was Dr. Poison or any of that stuff. Didn't matter. It's set well.
All right, so we're going to be moving on to iBoy.
Yeah, so first off, I had thought this was a series. That kind of plays in a little bit to, I mean, it was good. It was good enough that I thought that I was going to be watching the second or part two. I thought it was going to be something along the lines of the Sherlock Holmes films or series. Kind of movie episodes. Yeah. But so this is a Netflix original. It's a British comedy, made film. And it's one of the main stars in it is Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones fame. But the lead actor in it, over here in the States, basically an unknown, but he does his role pretty well. It turns into kind of a superhero film without trying to go into too much spoiler details on it. He witnesses a crime and something happens where he winds up getting majority of his cell phone fragments into his brain. And this is the premise of what the rest of the film goes on to, where he can start seeing things. It starts to go into more almost like an Inception kind of thing where he's actually, you know what? it actually plays like a newer version of Johnny Mnemonic.
Huh, okay.
Like, because he can see digital. He sees everything in the world. But the way that they visualize this stuff, that's one of the things that kind of drew me in, was I was not expecting this. But it, when you can do something where you're using CG in a proper, in a good way, and it's showing all the different things that it feels like he's a superhero almost, mm-hmm. as to the game Watch Dogs. He's like able to do things with his head,
but, except with
that
his phone.
Do in the game,
yeah. except with the yeah. Watch Dog phone.
Yeah. And that's actually that's probably the best way to explain it. It's one of those things, like, would it be my first choice to watch if I had other ones to do? No, because it's been in my queue for a long time. But I'm definitely glad that I watched it now. I'd say it's about a 6.5.
Okay.
You know, it's worth your time when you have time to sit down and watch it.
Nice.
And so I definitely give it a look-see.
Yeah, it sat in my queue for a little bit. I did a queue cleansing of shows. I was like, yeah, I may or may not get to them when I had a bunch of stuff, but... Because it's a Netflix original, so I can throw it in there anytime again.
Yeah, you can throw it in there anytime. And it's one that's hard to talk about without
spoiling.
Yeah,
but so the 6.5, you gave the premise at the beginning. People can make up their minds.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's definitely something that I would recommend people watch at some point.
You said cue cleansing, so I either thought like of a spiritual, like just detoxification, like as if you were going to like this spiritual leader. Or a Q cleansing, like you're going to a spa and having like a treatment done.
Like a colon cleansing?
Just like, yeah, exactly.
Get it out of there. Roto-Rooter.
Is that what you did the other week?
No. Actually, I went into Netflix and I was like, I'm tired of scrolling my watch list forever.
No. So instead of in our queue, it's just shitting out our queue. So like you just crap out the queue and get it done. Just get it done. Moving on.
Speaking of crap.
Oh, Fargo?
No, Cajun was wrong.
Oh,
like okay. I was big time wrong. Last time we talked about Fargo, I was like, man, I didn't think the villain was going to go down like this. And I was like, oh, the villain didn't get taken down that way. Switcheroony on me. And he's still around. And the villain in Fargo does have actually a major role in the Wonder Woman movie. So,
Nice.
So the current...
You mean the actor.
Yeah. Not cross-universe stuff. The actor
I was like,
playing the main villain in Fargo has a major role in the Wonder Woman movie. I didn't even know he was in it. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's the guy from Fargo. And I think he did a great job. I think he's going to get some crap for Wonder Woman stuff as well. He is not a pretty man. David Thewlis is the actor. He is not a pretty man. But he plays creepy really well. And so he's still around. Now... One thing that happened, they did a kind of a couple of month fast forward, and I'm really curious if Ray's girlfriend is screwing with Emmett right now. So that's one thing or if Emmett is just seeing stuff. But now Fargo's still really good. But and later on, we're going to talk about another show me and Damien are going to go a little more in depth on. But I watched Fargo after this other show, and although I really love Fargo, I felt less about it because this other show was so damn good. But Damien... I saw this movie a couple weeks ago. I saw The Accountant with Ben Affleck a few weeks ago, and you just saw it recently too. What'd you think?
I like it. I like it a lot, and I feel that it was. I feel that it definitely was underplayed for his acting in it. Being, you know, I have a son who's a high functioning autistic. Mm-hmm. So seeing a film that has a hitman, so to speak, that is autistic and played well. Okay, this is the first thing. Like, people can give him crap for everything. Now, first off, I want to say the kid who played the young version of him, phenomenal job. That was amazing. The certain scenes, because I have seen stuff like that going. And then Ben Affleck, just the things where he's blowing at his fingers and he's doing certain things that the ticks.
Yeah,
he has specific ticks
throughout, and he plays them very, very, very well. That you truly believe that he is autistic. Like, you believe him and his
motivations. Acting was so convincing, and for that, I'm like, that's what I wanted to comment on, is that the kind of, I mean, it's it's a good action movie, but it's what is undermined is the fact of how good of an acting job that Ben Affleck did in his role. People coming in from the outside, I can see that people that don't have any experience with this might be like, oh, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's like, I, you know, my brother growing up had tics and stuff like that from just from ADHD. And so it's just all that stuff kind of culminates around to things. So it's like my brother did very similar things with the blowing on his fingers before he would touch his food. So I'm like watching that stuff. I really enjoyed the film because of the acting in it. And that's what I wanted to try to get out there is Ben Affleck did such a good job. Mm. The rest of the film is a good action flick.
It is.
It is a good action. And
it's a good, it's not espionage or spy, but it's a good like business takedown, like corruption flick as well too.
Yeah.
And so without spoiling anything, because it has some of that.
It's perfect twists and turns and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, and then you got
all the turns in the third act were great. We're not going to give any of those away. They were big.
Yeah.
And I picked two big turns and I only got one right. I was looking at my wife like this and this, and I got one of them right. But the second one I missed by a mile. And this is not a spoiler either, but they did leave some stuff open at the end that I hope it gets enough success DVD wise, because I don't know how good it did at the box office to get a sequel. And because I think it definitely left some stuff open at the end to get a sequel for this movie.
And is it now? I'm trying to think. I know its last name is Simmons. Is it AJ Simmons?
RJ, I think. I think it's RJ Simmons.
RJ. That's the guy who played the who played. He's going to be Al Gordon. I know that.
Yeah.
Like anytime he's in a film, he's a pleasure to watch. He embodies the characters very, very well. And another thing, it's like, yeah, I just this film I really enjoyed, and the acting in it was really good. And you don't get a lot of times you get action films, you get Schwarzenegger and stuff like that. Now I've seen Schwarzenegger in some films recently that he's done over the last few years that had really good acting to him.
Right.
But usually when you go to see an action flick, you're not going to see good acting. You're going to see action.
Yeah. And in the same vein we're talking about with Wonder Woman earlier and Girls in Power, I mean, this is a movie not on the same level because it takes the story a different way, but an autistic kid could see this movie and say, oh, if I put my focus into something, I could be really good at something. And Ben Affleck's character puts his focus into two main things, his career and his training. And it's just like, he's really good at those things. Yeah.
And that's the same thing that was the tie-in when we talked about Guardians of the Galaxy a couple episodes back, was that children with autism, stuff like that, were really connecting with Drax because he takes things so literal and stuff like that. Right. He has a really, really big fan base within that. And it's been neat to see that's more recent, but to know that there's stuff like this coming out there. And I hope that we keep seeing that as a thing.
Yeah, awesome. Same here. Like something that people who aren't represented in film can see themselves represented and flock to, I think would be great. Going back to a previous comment made, hashtag Cajun was wrong again, possible this time. Was I made a prediction in Better Call Saul a few weeks ago that Chuck will commit suicide. And this is, again, not going to go into any spoilers on this one, but I think I was wrong because season's not over yet, and I don't think he's leading that way. I thought he was going to wallow in pity and fade away, but it looks like he's trying to fight back against his illness and some others. So, yeah, Better Call Saul strong, and you can see the world coming together to be how it was when Walter White arrived, and I really hope it gets two more seasons to finish it out. Get its five seasons like Breaking Bad and just culminate with him meeting Walter White, and then we continue on from there, because I really do enjoy everything on how these people do a lawyer drama, if you want to call it, in the Breaking Bad universe. Yeah.
Do you think that after this that they could revisit characters from from Breaking Bad and go on to a continuation?
Go into the future? I think so, because I think in 2 years you could do a future Jesse Pinkman.
That's what that's okay.
Because I think that's definitely something you could do, because I mentioned this previously, and it's, and we've seen this in every season of Better Call Saul, is that many episodes of Better Call Saul start off in black and white, and it's a flash super forward to Saul Goodman in witness protection. Not really witness mm-hmm. protection. He's not a witness. He's in hiding as a manager of a Cinnabons. And you see flash forwards to that, and things he's doing now make him think back on this stuff. It's not in every episode, but you see it. So you know he exists in the future. And tying in all that story, and I can't think of the actor's name who plays Jesse Pinkman right now. I'm blanking on it because beers and late at night. But he's doing a lot less lately. He's been in some movies, hasn't had a lot of critical success that Bryan Cranston has from the show.
Aaron Paul,
yes. So Aaron Paul at this point could be more open, because he was getting movies left and right when he in the Breaking Bad. He's going to be fading a little more now. And I know people love him. They love his character. And if they wanted to do a continuation, if there was a good story there, I'd be up for that for sure, because I think the timing would be right.
Yeah, I mean, he took a big hit with the Need for Speed film when he did that. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of one of his last movies he did. Now he's mostly been doing commercials.
Oof. Oof.
Yeah.
Come on, Aaron Paul.
So now we're going into something that Chris wants to talk about here a bit. We got Orange is the New Black.
Orange is the New Black. First of all, I didn't watch the first four seasons, so I have no idea what the hell's going on. But my wife has encouraged me to watch season 5. I did, and we're, I think, 4.5, 5 episodes in. And it's pretty freaking interesting. Like, I don't really know a lot of the character names. I kind of have an idea of who the major characters are, but, like, again, I couldn't tell you who their name specifically. But this season involves a prison riot, and it involves them taking over the prison. They've captured some of the inmates, so it's super interesting. So, like, it's pretty intricate about each girl has an individual characteristic, and it leads to, you know, a token, whatever it is. You know, this is a druggie, this is the person that's into this, this is the person that's into this. But overall, I found myself, like, caring about characters, which I didn't think I would do after not knowing who they were or having a backstory, so I was definitely interested. I would recommend it.
Hang on, 1 second. I have to interrupt you for one moment. Chris the Salt Shaker cares about characters. I don't know if he's cared about characters since he cared about some characters in Westworld. So this is big.
It is. And hearing about some of the stuff, like,
there is background noise central going on over there. Either we're going to leave this in the show, or we're going to axe file to edit out a few
seconds.
Sorry,
there's like a moth that's, like, being attacked right now.
Mind you, Chris isn't going. Oh, now Chris is going to attack the moth.
Okay.
We have Mothra join the show.
Versus apparently the world. Let's fight.
I thought it sounded like it was Mothra versus the wife. And Chris is going to go bring the rage.
I think he just muted his mic when he tried to unmute it. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely just stepped on a moth. I'm like, psh, done. Like, I get it. Killed it.
We know that when Mothra versus
Mon Mothra, they call me Mon Mothra. So, like, that's it. That is definitely a bad. Yeah. There's it.
So back to your take on Orange is the New Black.
Back to my take. We'll just leave it where it is. I find it interesting. It's not something that I typically would watch. Now, like, it's every evening, it's like, okay, let's watch an episode. So, like, something that I'll finish out the whole season and kind of care about. So, for sure.
Just thinking of having to catch up 4 seasons on a show, because I couldn't do that, just jump into a season like that. Ugh. so much effort to catch up. But I heard so many good things about the show. But one that just finished up recently that me and Brandon talked a lot about, and we actually didn't hit this earlier. Brandon had to not be in this episode. He might not be in the next one, but we hope he gets back soon. He's dealing with a lot of stuff at work and life right now, but we hope he's back soon. We love him. He's still going to be doing the edit, so you're going to hear his touch in the episodes. But was Flash, season 3. We talked about it a lot. We stepped away when it wasn't big episodes, but it's done. And for Flash, we talked a lot about the time travel element. We talked a lot about in previous seasons, you could go back in time and change the future. You could alter time. If you knew what was going to happen, you could do stuff to change it. This season, completely forgot about that. And it's like, we cannot change the future. And the way they actually ended it was, I think, a complete cop-out on their ability to change the future. And it did lose some of my respect going that route with it. Because either change the future or it's going to happen, not this sort of mid-ground cop-out scenario they did. And the other thing they did that I didn't like was my favorite character from this season, we lost him in the final fight. And I was like, what? My favorite character? I was loving this. So because we live in an alternate universe, you can always bring other characters back by just going to another universe. Say, hey, we need help. And then they just come through a portal. And then we're here now. I'm from Earth 52. I'm from Earth 1. I'm from Earth 12. And then they're just there. So that exists in terms of bringing the actors and actresses back. But, man, I really like the characterization of that character. Because I would spoil it if I just gave away who it was at this point. But cop out. I'm going down with like a 6 out of 10 for the season this year because of the cop-out. I thought Battle of Gorilla City in the mid-season stuff, the crossover episodes, I thought all of that was great, but a lot of middling in the middle and the way they copped out at the end kind of lost some respect. I'll still watch next season. This isn't enough to make me pull away, but let's up our game, guys, and make some commitments. If we're going to do stuff like this, just crap or get off the pot at this point. Now, earlier dropped a little bit of a teaser that there is a show that I watched before watching an episode of Fargo that just made me like, oh, I love Fargo, but man, after watching this other show, Fargo is not even as good anymore. And me and Damon have watched it, and this is season 2 of The Last Kingdom on Netflix. Damon, I'll let you start.
Man, first up, you know, when I first heard about, you know, Uhtred and his issues and things like that, I was interested, but I didn't, you know, I'm like, nah, there's no, there's like nothing. Like I, you know, you Derek, you said it was Game of Thrones light. Mm-hmm. And I watched the first season. I was like, okay, when I binge, like I did it with Friday the 13th. I've been binging more recently, but this kind of started that. I went through the entire 8 episodes in like almost one night.
Ooh. For season 1 or for season 1, right?
For season okay. 1. Season 2, I watched all episodes in 2 nights. I'm just going to say that. Mostly in one night. But yeah, and then when I got to the end of it, like I just, this character, man, he goes through some hell.
Exactly. He's the luckiest and unluckiest character. He just switches. Like, he's so unlucky. How he's going to get out of this? He's so lucky he got out of it. And then it's just back and forth the whole time. And there's no exposition. Like, there's a lot of stuff happening. They talk about stuff happening. But they don't not waste a single moment. They need to fast forward like a couple of weeks or stuff. It's done. We don't need to mill around and talk about stuff and debate and have this stuff. It's just major scene after major scene after major scene after major scene back to back. And if you're like, okay, wow, that's going to be a great finale at the end of the season, what they're talking about right now. No, that's the end of this episode. Let's go to the next one. And it's just bam, I know. Bam, bam. It's,
because, yeah, it has like, you know, Game of Thrones has like, you know, maybe like each season usually has like 3 major moments. Mm-hmm. Every episode has some form of a major moment at it. And you're like, like your head spinning, but they answer the questions too. Yeah. Like they don't leave things unanswered.
They don't leave things unanswered. They ask questions and answer it a lot quicker than you expect, because they ask these major questions and you see this thing setting up and you're like, oh, they're setting up for this to happen a few episodes from now. It might. But for the most part, it's going to happen a lot faster than you expect. And like we said, head spinning. Because you're constantly like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that to happen so fast. Or I wasn't expecting that to happen at all with some
and,
of these twists.
And they do, something they do with this series is that they introduce you to a character. They make you like, this is the Game of Thrones part. They introduce you to someone, you love them. If they get taken away, they fill that void, and you don't even know sometimes that the void's being filled. Right. Like you'll see someone, in this episode they're a background, and then all of a sudden they're there again, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my god, I love this character, and then they're gone, and you're like, well, what's next? But the thing is that the writers are so good with this show that you don't feel like you're like, okay, that sucked, but that moved the story, that created this element to it. Who are you going to introduce to me next? Because I like these. I like the characters that you give me.
Right. I didn't even think of that either. Because you're constantly. It has that Game of Thrones light aspect because anybody can die at any time. But you're right about that because they bring other people right in because there's always people around Uhtred. There's always people around the king. There's always people around other major characters in the show. That it's just like, wow, that's gone. And then boom, boom, boom. These characters now either have bigger roles or this person's brought in. And it's a minor person that just walked around in the background in one scene. Because so many other shows, if somebody is going to be a major character, the camera focuses on them a little more. They get a little more exposition and backstory. If they pan across and introduce five people, like this, these are these five people in introductions, the character you're going to see a lot more of is not going to get any more exposition or screen time than anybody else. So you can't really pick them out of a crowd. They're not going to look any better than anybody else. It's just, oh, okay, this is how the story is going now. And it's really tough to predict, which makes watching a show that has this much engagement, this much activity, really, really, really fun.
Yeah, and it's just like I got, like my dad has been, he's getting caught up on Game of Thrones. He's been buying all the seasons and stuff like that. And he's like, oh man, he goes, I need another show to be able to buy too. And I go, well, you can get these for both seasons of this for pretty cheap.
Like and they're on out. Netflix.
You can actually buy them now in the store too. You can buy the seasons.
Netflix is cheaper. Netflix is 10.
He doesn't have internet. Yeah, but he doesn't have internet.
Oh yeah. Okay then. Yeah.
if you get, like I said, I've talked about this before. You give me a show that I actually, went and talked to my grandmother about and was like, hey, yeah, so you were saying our background, our heritage is this. I go, it's not. I go, I actually went and did research. It's this. But I mean, that's good. Right. It gets you thinking. And the fact of how it shows, like, it's intriguing as to the point of how it's showing you the creation, basically, of England as we know it.
Right. Yeah.
Because a lot of, there has been very few shows that have ever, you get all the, Rome and all that stuff, the Roman Empire, that stuff gets talked to all hell. You never see this.
You never see the creation of England. You never see the cities that are just dirt on the ground that are major cities now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never see the struggle and the corruption that went on to create it. And I mean, and that's what we're getting with this. And the character struggle between people, that's like you hate one character one moment, you like them the next. It's, it's hard because it's like you feel the pull that Uhtred feels between being a Saxon and being a Dane. There's times when you're like, I feel with the Saxons. There's times when you feel with the Danish, and it's
Yeah, you're against Eric and Siegfried, and you're for Eric and Siegfried, and like there's so many characters. You like Alfred, you don't like Alfred. So many times, yeah.
That's good. I mean, the fact that they can do that's something that you don't get in a lot of TV nowadays. Mm-hmm. So when you can get it, take it and run with it. Like I'm hoping that we have many more seasons because the fact that they jump ahead of things worries me that they'll be like, okay, the actor wants to do something else now, so we're just going to jump ahead to this point. Right. But because of how much I love it, I want many more seasons to
stick around. Exactly. Because one thing that is concerning is the CEO of Netflix, because Netflix was adding shows. He said that we're going to have to make some cuts on shows, and especially the bigger budget ones. And so we've seen some expensive shows. We saw Sense8. We saw The Get Down. I'm trying to think of a few more.
Sense8 got canceled?
Yeah, Sense8 got future seasons of Sense8 got canceled. Some of their more expensive shows, the ones that had high production budgets.
Thing about this one, though, is that this is actually a BBC TV series. So this is, and it's brought to America as a Netflix exclusive.
Nice.
And so because of that, because it's a joint one, hopefully we won't have to see this one get canceled because the cost is spread across the board.
Spread across both of them. And yeah, that's true. We've seen that with other shows. If another studio is producing and Netflix paying it, it's getting income from two areas, But one thing I didn't see was like when the second season dropped, it wasn't a top banner on Netflix until almost its second week being out, because Netflix has their banner of whatever show they're promoting.
Oh, no, week. No, it was a month. It was a month out.
Oh, wow.
It was a month
before they bannered it. So it doesn't seem like they were putting a lot into it. And for a show that I think is as good as it is and that they should be, it has great production value. And I was mentally sort of thinking, because we're almost at the mid-year point right now, of like what my top 10 shows would be for this year as of right now. And for me, like this one and Taboo are going to be right up there at this point of the year of what's my favorite show. And that's a strong statement, because we waxed poetic about Taboo and how great it was. But to have another show that's just like, man, it's competing for the top, and I'm going to have to really figure it out, because I think in this one, I liked season one a lot on this one, but I think season two was even better. Because they hit
they hit on so many different areas. Right. The character development of Uhtred, like, props to the actor, honestly. Again, we've been talking a lot about acting and stuff like that. And in this series, every character, like, the acting is spot on and so it's prophetic with how they put into the character. Almost Shakespearean, I would go. Some parts of it feel like you're watching it, like a play being played out within realism.
Right. Because you have people that are extreme. You have like Alfred's deep seated Christianity versus Uther's atheism or
hedonism.
Yeah. And so how those play, it's like these characters play to those. They treat each other like extremes, and other characters treat each other like extremes when they could be sitting around drinking and it's fine, but then they take so much other stuff into the background into it. All that stuff in consideration goes into every interaction with each other in this show. So,
and if you're watching this, you will pick up on some actors and stuff like that that come into the play in it, that you'll be like, you know, that seems like a lot of makeup, but I think I know who that person is. And if you follow other TV series and other movies, stuff like that, I look up IMDb when you watch this, when you think that you saw somebody, because it probably is somebody behind a lot of makeup, because I've done that on like four different occasions on this and been really surprised at who's in it.
Nice. All right. So any shows you plan on watching next week? Any movies you plan on watching next week? What's on our upcoming queue?
I'm going to try to get to the movies to see either Pirates or Wonder Woman. It depends whichever my family chooses.
Hopefully your family doesn't choose Pirates.
I'll say I want to see Pirates, and my wife loves Pirates, so that's probably what we're going to go see.
Just tell her to watch the Alpha.
I want to see Wonder Woman.
Tell her to watch the Alpha of Sea of Thieves and then call it a day.
Yeah.
She actually watched it today.
I'm going to be finishing up Fargo and Better Call Saul should be finalizing their season, so finishing up on those. And don't really know about any movies that we'll be getting out to go see, but I do have a free movie pass to a movie theater that I can only use for movies that have been out for over 2 weeks. So I might look for a babysitter this weekend and find something in the back catalog of movies that we can go back for.
Nice.
I don't have any intentions. I have none. No intentions this week. Like Wonder Woman, like I think I might go see Wonder Woman. I know my kid wants to go see it. I know I'm gonna continue to watch Orange Is the New Black and finish that up, because my wife really wants to go see it.
Are you going to hit the backlog on that?
You know what? I wasn't even interested enough to watch, like, what I'm watching, but, like, I'm in now, so, like, it's like, okay, so let's knock out 8 episodes or 9 episodes. We're doing, like, 1 a night, so it's kind of something to kill because there's legit nothing on television at this point, and just shit. Game of Thrones I'm literally waiting until Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones is something that we will still, like, if we have to, we'll do our regular episode and we'll do a segment saying, hey, check out what we did before. We'll talk, do a no, like, we'll probably do a no spoiler review of what we talk about first off.
But a spoiler-free we'll do a timestamp into the spoilers.
Yeah. So
we're definitely trying to have you guys, the listeners, get everything you want out of the episode with us, but also be able to go into shows that people are watching at a fast cadence because of their prestige or popularity, that we can go into a little deeper stuff. We'll definitely timestamp those and give you a chance to skip over it if you were listening and hadn't caught that yet. But that's our plans.
Next, we're going to be going into Game On. First up, I've been playing, it's been no question here what I've been playing. I've been playing Friday the 13th. Had some technical issues with my network and whatnot, so wasn't able to get into some of the games I wanted to get into. But they just put out a patch for Xbox, which fixed a lot of issues. Yes, it presented some new issues. But for overall, a lot of the glitches were fixed, and I can find a match like in usually an average of 10 seconds.
Oh, nice.
Still enjoying the heck out of it. I got tons of stories. I can't tell you how much my friends list is expanding because of this game.
Oh, nice.
And that's one something that's been... I just wanted to touch... The main thing I wanted to touch on basis on this game is games like this, games like Sea of Thieves, games like Destiny have been really cool that they have elements where you need to communicate. And so games are... Some of the games that developers are making are bringing us back to that original feeling of online games when everybody was excited to talk to each other because, oh my God, you can talk to someone else and play a game with them. It's like couch co-op, but away. It's been cool to have some of these games that are coming out that are forcing you to get back into that. And most of them, because of the nature of it, are the salt from, you know, people cursing or things like that isn't there, or if it's in a lot low smaller amount of the community versus other games like, you know, say Call of Duty. And that's something I wanted to touch on with things that are coming out. And I'm gonna talk a lot about that on other games that are coming out. I know that Dead by Daylight
okay
is coming out, and I'm gonna be talking about that. I'll be also talking about how it is a completely different experience than Friday the 13th.
Have you been playing? You've been playing it?
I played it on the PC a while back. I'm looking forward to it. I feel that it'll, for me, controller is the way I like to go. I played it at PAX last year, and that was one of my main things. I played on a friend's account. The other thing is about it is that Dead by Daylight, the thing about it that's different than Friday the 13th, first off, it's 5 players. It's not set. It's not 8 involved in it.
But it runs in the same style of the 5v1. So like you're going again. Yeah.
It does. It does go in the same style. I'll talk more about that after it releases. Because I can talk all night about it. We're getting like
you and I might have a conversation about that then.
Excellent.
Okay.
You know, we will cover it in a future episode. But right now, Cage is going to talk about Borderlands, the pre-sequel, and he's like, "What? Why is it? Why isn't he talking about Deus Ex: Human Revolution?" Well, I played it a little more, and the actual combat was just—it was a little too Yankee for me. I was liking the story, and I was like, "Man, this could be a good story." And I believe everybody, Damien, was all about the story. And I got it, and the story seemed like it was going to be good, but the gameplay in between, maybe because it was so long ago and I wasn't getting into it, and there was like one section where I got sent on a mission, and I was like, go do this, but if you see that, go up this way. And I was like, okay, let me try the little hint they gave me to go bypass it, like to try to go up, I think it was like a fire escape or something. And I just could not figure out how to get up this fire escape. And I was like, there's only like one thing to do here. I have very limited controls, very limited things of what I can do. Like, why would the game even say that if it's not an option? So let me just go the right way. Oh, well, the right way is locked away from me until later on. And this was like one of the first side missions. I was just like, come on. It was, those two things just pushed me right into Borderlands, the pre-sequel. You had a question, Damien?
I was just going to say, Deus Ex, sometimes when you're talking about the controls being janky, that game, from what I've experienced and everything too, as much as I love controllers, works better with a PC, and I'll admit that.
I bet, because the whole how you come out of cover scenario, and it's a cover shooter,
it's really weird.
And how you come out of cover is very difficult to come out of cover and aim. Yeah, that's big for me. But considering how long we are in the tooth, I'm a big Borderlands fan. I never played the pre-sequel, so downloaded that and picked, obviously, Claptrap. Because why wouldn't you play with Claptrap? Because Claptrap is one of the best characters in video games, extremely humorous. And so playing as him, and most Borderlands characters have a set super. In the pre-sequel, this is not a spoiler because it's set up right away. In the pre-sequel, Claptrap's super is he analyzes the situation and then executes a super from any of the other Vault Hunters that you played before. And so it's a very random super. Sometimes grenades are just popping out of you left and right. Sometimes you're invisible. Sometimes you have the, you throw out the turret. Sometimes you send out a Blightbot that like poisons everything, which is like, that's the best one for getting rid of ads. So you never know what you're going to get. Like you hit the buttons and then you see like an analysis screen and it puts all of these cubes in of what's actually happening. So if you know what environment you're in, you know about what he could do. Like he has like a set one, like if you're in super danger, low health, or if you're not in danger at all, full health scenario. And also who's present. It analyzes number of enemies and quality of them too. And so it sends out one based on that. But that's the inconsistency of that has made it entertaining, because I'm like, he's going to probably do one of, oh, he's doing that. And you have to like change what I'm doing, because if he's throwing out grenades everywhere and I'm ducked around a corner, I'm about to die because I'm going to be getting grenades bouncing on me. So I got to jump up in the air and have enemies everywhere shooting at me. So it's been fun. His dialogue, because the dialogue in the game is always fun. But normally your character dialogue is just okay. But his dialogue with everybody else's just makes it great. Playing as him, so
that's awesome. Claptrap is a favorite character of mine. I love all the little collectibles you can get of various types of Claptrap. So yeah, no, it's cool.
Excellent. So handing it over now. I'm probably at least 2/3 of the way through that game right now. Chapter 9, I think I'm on. But yep.
Nice, man. You've been really hitting these games hard with the ones that you've liked in your backlog chronicles.
It's been 2 weeks though, so it's been 2 weeks, and basically episode, I gave. I'll pronounce it Damien's way, Deus Ex. I think that's actually the right way. I've been saying Deus Ex my whole life, every time I saw it. But I say Deus Ex. Ever since I played one more time.
I say Deus Ex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been pronouncing it wrong, and I'll give you that much, because when I heard it, I was like, why did Damien say that? I'm like, oh, yeah, it's not Deus Ex. It is Deus Ex, because it's Deus Ex Machina, and that's the actual phrase, except it doesn't have the last word on the end. Oops. Mental pronunciations.
The other one I've been playing is a Xbox preview title. It's The Culling. And this is a battle royale game that's been out on early release for Steam. Now, when it first came out on Steam, it was like everybody was loving it, and then it got people said, or a lot of the community on Steam said, it got patched into the ground. Well, when it came to Xbox, they kind of dialed that back, and they're reviewing. They're actually looking at some of those patches so that they don't have that same problem happen on console. It's been fun. There's two major maps right now that are out. They're going to put out a bunch more as time goes on. $25, get yourself a battle royale game finally on Xbox. Granted, this is the problem that culling is going to run into right now. Yeah, it's a fun pastime to get in there and just create some weapons and things like that. That aspect's a lot different than PUBG. But when PlayerUnknown Battleground comes out, this game's going to be an afterthought.
Yeah.
Like, I like it. I like the art style. It's fun. But when the big boy gets into the park on console, this game will be an afterthought. And I feel sorry for it a little bit because of that. I'll still play it every now and then. But it'll be one of those games where I pick up and play and say, hey, you know, see if my son's available to play it. But most of my time for an arena-style game like that is going to be PUBG.
Is it just me, or is there a very large uptick in Battle Royale-style games? Is that...
Well, right now with that is because, I mean, the king of these style games was a DayZ knockoff, which was actually H1Z1.
Okay.
And which the H1Z1 initially was a zombie survival thing versus other players. And they're like, hey, we're going to take this and we're going to create it into arena-style combat, and we're going to call it H1Z1 King of the Kill.
Okay.
And that was like the Twitch streamer, mixer streamer. That was the streamer's paradise for getting major kills and just getting some craziness to go on, right? One of the people that worked on it was like, hey, I don't want to just be stuck to PlayStation. I want to take it in a different direction.
Gotcha.
They came out and they created PUBG, and that was a Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And this game is amazing. The people behind it are just, I mean, Chris, did you get a chance to talk to the people behind it? I think you did,
PUBG,
right?
For sure. I talked to him at PAX East.
Yeah. The developers are genuinely fans of their own product and of their fans. That's the cool thing. Like, they are watching streams, their streamers. They are enjoying the content creators and watching the stuff and trying to create something that can come up with it. Now, with the uptick in these games, just to be said about that is the games that we saw, like for the Xbox Media Brief, and we saw Darwin is that style game, but Darwin was actually supposed to come out like 2 years ago.
All right.
But they kept it in development and they changed things up, and they developed it with Mixer now in mind, and it'll become a better experience because of that. But it's, you know, the game development stuff, it goes with what people want to play. Call of Duty's been the shooter for a long time. Well, guess what? Now people are liking things that are entertaining to the crew. And a lot of this happens to be because of film. And it's because of Hunger Games. Hunger Games basically is the culmination of all this. Hunger Games and Japanese film Battle Royale.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. Okay. That people, video game people seeing that is like, somebody, that would be a cool game, and then making the first one, and then people seeing the expansion of these Battle Royale style games going more and more and more. And the audience person of it, and I definitely saw that in the Darwin Project as well, the audience participation part of the Darwin Project and how these games pick up popularity due to streamers is that one is set for success if the gameplay is right. So we'll see that.
Yeah, I mean, PUBG right now, even though he's not the best at it, one of the top streamers for Mixer is Seif. And Seif and I follow each other on Twitter. I talk back and forth with him on that. And he's right now just like, he can't wait. He's trying to get them to release it on Xbox sooner because he only bought a gaming PC for PUBG, but he's mostly an Xbox streamer.
Gotcha.
And he's trying to get him to come out with that a little sooner. The next up in the games and stuff like that I've been playing is I've been playing the Morrowind expansion to Elder Scrolls Online. And now that Morrowind is the first Elder Scrolls game I ever played, and I played it on the original Xbox. Coming into an expansion for Elder Scrolls Online that takes you to Morrowind and allows you to see the building of Vivec City and to see because of the point place where ESO takes place at, seeing the stuff built up around it is really, really awesome for a fan. The armor and stuff looks cool. The gameplay is fun. The Warden class is amazing. If you're a fan of Druid classes from other MMOs and things like that, and you've been looking for an ability to play something like that in Elder Scrolls Online, you now have your ability to play that class with the Warden. And it's been just sheer fun with it. I love running around with a big bear pet that can tank for me. I've been picking up, I've been playing with a few clanmates here and there. It's cool when a game series is able to go back and visit something by making a sequel that's a prequel, but
right,
allows you to explore that lore and stuff and see how things came up. And then you remember, even though the graphics weren't as good, you still remember exploring this stuff, you know, when you're younger or whatever. That is a cool experience.
Yeah, it's like you say, it's a pre-sequel, like we talked about with Borderlands.
Yeah, with
and
Borderlands.
That's one thing I'm dealing with right now in Borderlands, a pre-sequel, because this is it takes place in the past, but it's a sequel part of the game, so it has the better graphics mechanics, but it's also, I'm trying to remember all the stuff that happened in Borderlands 1 and 2, because it's basically, it's in the trailer, but it's the spawn of Handsome Jack.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, yeah, this and that. And some of it just blatantly tells you. And other stuff is like, that looks familiar. I should remember that, but I have such a crappy memory. I don't remember what that was, but I do remember seeing something like that. And it was like hinting towards it. And the story is guiding itself a lot of the ways. Like, you're basically helping it, because that's obviously what's going to happen. And so that's been pretty cool to see in a pre-sequel.
Yeah, and the thing about Borderlands, though, I mean, that's something we got to give a round of applause for Borderlands, because that game and the community that kind of came around it, that was like the start of games like Destiny and the game coming out, Anthem, was
looter shooters.
It was Borderlands, because that's where everybody played that together, and it was a looter shooter. And it was community based. You know, you can jump in together, and then you could go back. I can't tell you how many hours, like, because I lost my save file back on the 360, back when you played it on, and how many hours I put into that game, because I could play with my friends, and I beat that game because you had the plus program. We can go in there and play it again.
And you can play with other characters tougher. And the different perks.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, you gotta give your applause to that, but you know what else we need to get applause to? We got to get into the hype train, because my God, E3. That's all I'm saying. So
let's go.
Tickets up, everybody. Let's go. All right. First up, we have Bethesda.
Yeah. So we did Microsoft already. We're going to try to cover the major conferences and what kind of stuff we saw at the different conferences. I know, Chris, you got like some write-ups on kind of what the other ones had, right? Yeah, with a muted mic, it's tough for us to hear you, though.
It is. So Bethesda talked about Wolfenstein, the new Colossus. So that's a big thing. They talked about it last year. It was produced early last year. You saw in their E3 conference that it was up on the screen, and it said Wolfenstein, new Colossus. They talked about it, and they talked about it to the point where it's coming out October 27th. So
Bethesda, right around the corner. Yeah.
Yeah, when Bethesda talked about their games this year, it's coming out legit now, or like soonish. Like, we're not talking about games that are coming out in 2019. We're just going to talk about things that are going to be coming out quickly. They did talk about The Evil Within 2 again, October of 2017. So like, man, they're button up back-to-back games. Wolfenstein and The Evil Within are their two big games for the fall of this year.
Dishonored, and the thing is that we were questioning on Dishonored, the Dishonored announcement that they gave, if it was going to be an expansion. It's actually a smaller standalone game.
Oh, really? I thought it was a from everything I thought, it's just a DLC with other playable characters.
It is a no. Uh-huh. It's a standalone game.
Yeah, because of the story that they went out in the trailer, it's like, okay, that could stand alone by itself because it's a big story. But I'm in, because
The Dishonored franchise is one of my favorite franchises artistically, and just the storyline alone.
It does sneaking and stealth and thiefing really well. And I've always been attracted to sneaking and stealth games, but so many of them do it poorly where it's like, this isn't even fun. This one does it really well because you allow that complete variant path to targets and everything. Yeah, knowing that it's a game, I completely missed that part of it. That's exciting. Yeah. Even more exciting for me.
Yeah. And this one, you don't actually jump into it as Corvo, or you play as
one of those two assassins, or you play as that female.
Yeah, I believe you just play as the female, and it's Dodd. I think Dodd is his name. Is who you're saving?
Yeah, he's like one of the assassins in the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, you're her apprentice. His apprentice.
Okay. That helps in the character selection side, which isn't that big of a deal anyway. But excited. All right.
This not me throwing salt, but you know, Bethesda had their E3 conference at midnight on Sunday, and yeah, it was nice. A half an hour long. And the two main takeaways were Evil Within and Wolfenstein, which could have been major pressers at Microsoft and or you know Sony. And they threw out all the small stuff like the DLC stuff, which then could have been just added extra. So quite honestly, Bethesda's conference, aside from the fact that they had a major musical act that played that blew things up, and then also they had the huge Bethesda Land, it seemed like they were spending more time on the extracurriculars.
And the animation.
Yeah. The extracurriculars and the animation side of it, too. But they are big enough, too, with enough titles to carry a conference into it.
And but a half an hour is not a long... It's not enough for a conference. No.
And especially midnight.
No.
There's nothing else going on. Come on, put it in a better part of the day. It seems like almost it was cheap side. It was like, let's go. What's the cheapest time slot we can get? Midnight? All right. People will watch it later anyway. Go with that.
So the next conference that came up was Ubisoft, and man, if you shut the crap-eating grins, I'm going to say crap-eating because I'm going to be polite about this, between Guillermo and Miyamoto, where they were both arm-to-arm with those like rifles next to each other Rabbids versus with Mario. I mean, like, seriously, who cares about Rabbids? I mean, it's got an XCOM feel.
It was cool until we saw gameplay.
Yeah, I mean, it's got an XCOM feel, which everybody's been just clamoring about, and Mario sells games, and nobody cares about Rabbids, so I'm just going to say that right up front. So, like, if Mario wasn't in this game, I'm not really sure how many more people would care about this game, but...
It's a good TV show.
Gameplay took everybody by surprise, it's turn-based, it's got, I talked about XCOM, it's got that XCOM feel... So, I mean, people who walked away from the game were like, yeah, this is really rad, and I really want to play it. But while I was watching it, I was thinking to myself, oh, can we please just get to the next thing? It's just not my cup of tea. So
exactly. I don't like turn-based games, auto-attack. Like, I want my action to be action. And as soon as I was like, yeah, it looks fun and interesting. The Rabbids characters, they are funny. I like funny characters in games. But, yeah, the turn-based stuff is a huge turn-off. That's like an instant... You want to lose my attention, you give me auto attack or turn base, and I will just turn my head.
Yep.
I am not part of that.
Assassin's Creed came back on strong again. Same deal. Like, we watched it on the Xbox conference. We talked about it on the previous podcast, so I'm not going to go too much farther into that. However, if you want to watch IGN and some other websites through a half-hour trailer up so you can watch what's going on, it's a lot of Hawk Vision and, you know, that good old stuff where NPCs don't actually really do what NPCs really
Wildlands
do.
Wildlands drone.
Yeah, there you go.
Do a little Wildlands droning.
They talked about the crew briefly. Elijah Wood showed up and talked about Transference, which is a VR game. And then the big, big surprise, and it wasn't a big surprise because I had already heard about this game prior, especially with Sea of Thieves, was Skull and Bones, which, by the way, is Black Flags / Dishonored combined into a game, which if you want a multiplayer and you want to have some sea thieving going on, this seems to be the game for you.
This game, what got me on this one is, if you look at it, see, the main... So, I can talk about this because they've shown it, and they've talked a little bit about this. Sea of Thieves is difficult as a one-player right now, currently.
It's a team-based game.
It's a team-based game. This game is for those people who want to be able to do what you do in Sea of Thieves, but be...
Solo queue.
Be competitive as solo queue. And you could do that. This is, I mean, other than that, this is pirates on a Division Wildland style. This is all developed on the same engine. And if you want to play pirate games, to me, it's not a versus who which game is going to be better. It's play them both.
Right.
Because, but this game, the water, everything, I love it. I want to be able to play it. I'm looking forward to it.
It's Carefree versus is competitive. That's the difference. Carefree is Sea of Thieves. Competitive is
good.
This.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And the two, what Damian's talking about, if y'all didn't see what was shown, Skull and Bones as a pirate game, you control an entire ship by yourself. You have all the controls of the ship. You almost have a little god view above the ship. We have a lot of control of it. And you can power down to it. While Sea of Thieves is you're controlling an actual character, and that character can do a bunch of things. You need almost four people to run the ship and do stuff. So that's the biggest difference.
It's also first person v third right. person.
And what I was talking about is the maneuvering of Black Flags. So like how you maneuver the ship, how you shoot the cannons from the ship is very Black Flags like. How you fight each other in a competitive manner is very For Honor like. So, I mean, you're taking a lot of stuff from UB Games, you're putting them together into a big ship game, and this Skull and Bones game was supposed to be out last year. This is the game that was supposed to be at their demo, they held it off, they brought it back this year because they revamped it, and they wanted to make it more competitive, and so that's what you got. And as far as their conference is concerned, you take out stuff like the Fracture But Whole and like those kind of things, this is the game that people... like when they saw it, were like, oh shit, what is that? Because people didn't know about it. At least average gamers didn't know about it. I mean, people that were that were paying attention to what was going on knew, but a lot of people did not know. So that was a big deal. The Toys to Life thing, I don't really want to get into a whole lot of conversation. We know that Toys to Life doesn't seem to be a big thing right now, especially if Disney.
I got, you know, you and I have invested in Disney.
Yeah, if Disney can't make it, nobody can make it.
That's my thing. It's like I can't get myself to, as much as I love my collectibles and I got them, but I spent so much money on Disney Infinity, and I spent a crap ton of money on Skylanders originally, and then I jumped ship off that. I just don't know if I could do that another time around and be able to keep my skin. Let's just put
do it another time around and invest in something that eventually dies out, and then you feel like you've wasted your money. So I think that's the big deal for that. Mm-hmm. Ubisoft talked again about Far Cry, and so they showed a little bit more. It was gameplay, and then it was gameplay trailer, and they showed each individual character, or at least why we should care about them. I'm still in on this. Like, it didn't really matter what they showed me on this. I was pretty excited about that. I'm big into Far Cry. It deals with America. It deals with American politics. And it's something that deals with what's going on today. So I think you're going to find a really big crowd for this game, especially in 2018.
This game is going to be in the media. Yep. This thing is going to be beyond gaming because it's going to be controversial as F. And not only does that, it looks really good too. It looks fun. I have never played a Far Cry game. I've heard a lot of great stuff about them. I'm sad I haven't. But yeah, this one's got me in. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing about this is that they farmed Rainbow Six Patriots and took a lot of that militia content from that game that got canceled because of the political ties that they were dealing with. And now the studio is basically saying, F that, we're going to come out with this. And
they are not holding back.
They're not holding back. It's like they took the political stuff from Patriots and said, let's just go to the heartland and just give you, let's just dial it up to 10. And you're going to do, we're going to ship this. We're not going to let you.
And that's the thing. It's like they easily, if you're extreme political, like one extreme side of the political spectrum could hate this game, but they don't care because if another extreme side of the political spectrum buys the crap out of this game, they're going to sell a crap ton of copies, and everybody in between is going to get so much buzz. Because if you get people yelling about something in any way, shape, or form and manner, if it's something like this, you're going to get people interested in selling more copies, even if you have people yelling negative stuff about it.
Yeah, buyer beware.
Think about GTA.
Yep. Yeah, this game's going to take a ton of shit. Buyer beware. Like, it's going to take some grief. So good, bad, or indifferent, it's going to take grief. It's going to take grief because it's a lightning rod for what's going on in society. And so anything that does that is going to take a lot of heat from external sources that don't really know about the gaming world. They're just going to kind of spout things at something that they feel they have some information about. Ubisoft's biggest drop, biggest, oh, so excited, was Beyond Good and Evil. And so they took a game that is literally almost 15 years old. Like, this game is ancient, okay, right? And so they took they treated France to the CGI trailer, and it had a 24th century pigman, which, by the way, cursed, which flipped the hell out of everybody. Like, everybody was really upset about the cursing and the language in this thing. But they had the gorilla, they had it with the arm, the extendo arm, and that was kind of cool. And the game takes place in System 3, and it's an interstellar hub, pardon me, with Earthlings that have migrated to it. So just a bunch of CGI stuff on Beyond Good and Evil. So it totally leads you to the fact that this game is not even – it's in pre-production or in production, but not even remotely started yet. There wasn't even behind closed doors on this game. So this is early 2019 game at best.
Right.
But they took a beat-down franchise who's had a cult following, and people complained and said enough that this game became jump-started. And so here we are, Beyond Good and Evil.
Yeah, the cinematic trailer looked fantastic. There was no gameplay. I have no clue how the gameplay is. I never played the first one. I do own it on backwards compatible because it was like free one time, and I clicked it and downloaded it. But I just never got to play it because of my catalog, and I was playing other games. But seeing how good that trailer was, knowing there was a cut following, it definitely has sparked an interest to me that it quite possibly is the next game I play after Borderlands, just to see what this old game was about. And I know it's going to be probably Yankee because of how old it is, but let's go. I mean, that trailer looked awesome. This universe looks interesting. It's humans and animals that are like DNA merged with humans. That's kind of like how these creatures exist. So yeah, beautiful world too.
Damien, one man's Yankee is another man's Janky. Am I right?
Yes.
Every time I...
Because I'm sitting there like... Because I'm just like... Because like I keep going that... You know, he's talking about old games. I'm thinking like, we're about ready to get original OG Xbox games. I'm like, I'm going to be running around and start... Like, I can't say enough how much they get... The minute that Jedi Knights Academy goes live and on Xbox Live, I'm going to be on that, living on that, learning the moves again and cybering people to hell.
So if you had to put Sony's press conference into one word, it would be 2018.
Yes.
Yeah, didn't have much this year. Yeah.
Because that's pretty much what Sony had laid out. If you had money down on the fact that they were going to be talking about Uncharted Lost Legacy, Winner Winner Chicken Dinner, that's how they opened up. They opened up with that acoustic set, which was kind of cool. It had the whole thing with the water coming down in the background. It reminiscent of their 2016 presser. But if you're Naughty Dog, I have no conversation about The Last of Us because this is the game that's coming out. The Last of Us isn't for a while. If we're going to talk about The Last of Us, we're going to talk about it, Ellie and Joel in front of a bunch of PlayStation folk at PSX. We're going to save this for E3
or Gamescom, you know, or Gamescom.
But we're going to talk about the game that's coming out next, and we don't want to confuse our public by two games. We are only talking about this. One thing we did learn about the fact is that the two ladies in this aren't so friendly. They're not friends in this. This isn't a buddy game so much as it is two people going after the same thing and maybe going after about it a different way. So if you have Nadine or Chloe, they're together, but not so much. Destiny 2 made its trailer. What did you guys think about the quick Destiny 2 trailer? It was very CGI. You didn't get much as far as gameplay is concerned.
I like the comment that they talk about, you forgot what it's like to die. That was like telling, I mean, because, you know, they're pressing the story matter, you know, the story matters with Destiny 2. And that's, you know, they're giving little hints, and that's a big hint that we talked about, but it also makes me excited because You know, I want to hear how that plays out.
Yeah, because there's a lot of talk about, like, death and raids changing and, like, revives. Like, saying, like, can't revive, but death might not matter as much. And I'm really curious as to how that's all going to play out, because you know you're not going to be able to revive right away. Like, right away, you know you're going to lose the Traveler's Light and you're not going to have a ghost to revive you. Does that mean you have to, if you die, you have to start all your missions again? How's that going to play into the lore? Because reviving in games, in other games, is something that was just an afterthought. It just happens. You don't question it. Reviving in this one is part of the lore of Destiny. And they're basically, in their cinematic trailers, taking away the ability to revive by the Traveler's Light being taken. So I'm really curious how death's going to play in Destiny. So
but the thing is, in that trailer, you get kicked off and you would expect to die and you see like a crater where you land, but then you stand up and but instead of standing up and like being all, you know, powerful, you're seeing, you actually see that it happened to all the different bunch of guardians, and they stand up and they're all walking and they're limping. You know, you see injury, but does this mean that that the Guardians, even though we lost the light, are we still like kind of like superhuman in a sense? Because you're showing damage, but you're still survived a kick. I mean, or how far of a distance did you fall?
I think you see more damage because you have no light.
Right. And at some point, I think very early on, because they need to get back to that mechanic, they can't take away too many mechanics. Very early on, we're going to be, because we're in the city and the Traveler's right above the city, we're going to be doing something to tap into that light to probably at least get, because we have supers later on, which comes to light. End of the first mission, maybe even the second mission, we're getting our light back and going on those lines.
Do we get some type of power that's been kept up by Osiris?
Yeah, or something else involved in that too. But we're not getting that. We're not getting Osiris until DLC time, so I don't know if that plays into
it. Oh, you're right.
I mean, he could still be a character in this, but I would be surprised if they brought that character in this way. Another piece of news, and that we had some news from, they didn't, one thing I thought they were going to have more in the conference itself, like they were going to reveal the beta dates and other information in there, but it was just that trailer and it. We got those dates later, but we also got information that as a big clan that were in Uprising, that we're not going to get larger clans than 100 people. And that would have been great to pull everybody under one banner instead of having to have five disparate banners out there for our clan.
Can we drop a few things that aren't going to happen? We're not going to have, one, beards. So,
how do they not give you beards? Like, how?
Because it doesn't matter for gameplay.
It matters. It matters. No, it matters. No, it matters for making you feel connected to your character.
My helmet's on most of the time anyway. When I'm in social spaces.
Listen though, just shout out to Brandon on this. He did one of his little moments where he tweets something out and it's perfect. Like when he tweets, he usually targets something. First thing he does, he goes, "So hey," he tweets out to Anthem. He's like, "So Destiny 2 is not giving us beards. So what say you on that? You going to give it, do we get beards?"
Yeah, but for me, it's such a minor thing in character creation. Yeah, it would be cool to represent yourself physically if you have beard and facial hair on it. But considering most Guardians are wearing the helmet anyway, and also it has to do with facial animation. You just look at games nowadays who don't want to put the extra effort into facial animation for dialogue.
But they have characters that have facial hair already in there.
Yeah, but it's a set animation. It's not taking your self-generated character you generate, and then having to make that character animate and talk. Your character like rarely talks without mask on or at all. And so it's not having to do that part of it is something you just ignore because they're putting a helmet on anyway. So it's all about the gameplay, less about the physical face of it. And I think they're hearing that on a lot of people. It might come. It might come later in a patch.
Like I was just saying, or do we think that? Yeah, do we think that maybe they're just saying this now, and that we will get it? When we play the beta?
When the
game launches,
we're not gonna get it at launch of Destiny 2. I'm almost positive of that. But if they can make like a hair salon in the Destiny 2 DLC and get people patches, because I think at the end of the day, stuff matters more to them than this part of character creation. And it
just means I'll be playing in EXO again.
Some other stuff that we learned from Luke was the fact that Destiny will arrive on September 6th, but that's for Xbox and PS4 only. The PC version was not going to arrive until the 24th, which is a bummer for those PC players, so that's going to almost force them to go into the console space. The beta is going to begin on PS4 on July 18th. Xbox has it on July 19th, and if you're a PC player, good luck. It's going to be August at some point where you're going to get it. My guess is they're just trying to lock down what's going to happen on the console first, and then they're still panicky about what's going to happen on PC, and so they're just trying to figure out rules, regulations, that sort of crap for it. The other thing that we learned is that anything that came out as a PS4 exclusive is going to show up on PC and Xbox as of 2018. They didn't date what it was going to be in the 2018 time frame.
It's a long year.
But it could be a long year. And if you're Xbox players, you're used to it / accustomed to that long ass wait. So be prepared.
Yeah. The only thing that really mattered for me there would be the strike, because that's the only stuff that really matters. Oh, PlayStation people have a ship that they can show off to each other only. Who cares?
So Sony Ben came out at this PS4 conference with one of their masterpieces right now, which is Days Gone. And if you saw Days Gone at last E3 2016, it was either a demo or they were prototyping stuff, or I don't know what the hell they were doing, but it looked like crap. It looked like a massive, just like zombie, hit a turret, shoot things, whatever. And then you get the version that we get this year, and it's Uncharted / Last of Us like in feature. So they had to do a major revamp on this game in the last year. It was like, okay, either that or it was take a step out of the game that you think is going to be the most badass. We're going to make an E3 2016 demo of this thing twice, and it's going to look like crap twice, and people are going to complain. So as soon as they did, I think I personally think they revamped the game, because it has a lot of you have the drop down boxes in the UI. You're able to manipulate guns, you're able to change out weaponry. There's a lot you can do in this game, and Days Gone now went from a game where I was like, this is really the game they're coming out with, to, oh, hey, maybe. But the thing of it is you, again, typical Sony, 2018 game. We have no idea when the hell this is coming out. Everybody was excited to think it was a 2017 game. If you're changing the entire look of the game, take as long as you need.
Now, the thing is that the beta is out. Not the beta. The demo is actually out. They launched the demo right after they announced the game. They launched the demo on the PlayStation Marketplace. And what about, you know, the character? You know, he's played some of our favorite characters. I mean, he's Starkiller, Sam Witwer, who also is a voice actor in the Star Wars animated series.
Oh, okay.
He plays both Darth Maul, and he plays Darth Sidious.
He's
a very accomplished. He plays in the series in the Rebels and
Rebels
in Clone Wars. He's a very established voice actor and actor in his own right. In film and TV series. So seeing him come in here and him being one of my favorites, having him both do the animation, you know, the motion capture and stuff for the character, and then having his likeness being used, I was like, I saw that, I'm like, man. And then seeing the gameplay, Fouts can attest, I kept texting Fouts on it, and we were watching watching it together. I'm like, man, I need a PlayStation. I prefer the Xbox controller, and when it comes down to it, I'm a gamer at heart, and I like games in general. Man, I want a PlayStation. That's all I'm going to say.
They have really good first-person RPG games, and they keep those to themselves. And so, man, it's that becomes a tough thing, because you're buying a second console to play games, but at the same time, we've talked a lot of times about console seller games. PlayStation has quite a few titles that can just, you stack them up, and they a console purchase make. All right. Now, Chris's favorites, maybe?
Yeah. So Guerrilla came out and stated that they're going to have DLC for Horizon Zero Dawn, which is fantastic. Leads you to believe that Guerrilla already had this in the making because of how quickly the DLC is coming out. It looks like almost like a standalone for it. And so it's called the Frozen Wastes. And the quick trailer of it looked phenomenal. It's again a 2017 release, which is adding on to a couple of the 2017 games they actually did mention. So if you're a Horizon fan and you want to have a continuation, kind of like in the Breath of the Wild style, definitely look for the Frozen Wastes. A game that they claimed, which was pretty awesome, which is from a former developer, was Monster Hunter. And I was, as soon as I saw it, I was like, what? Why is this coming to PS4? The game has some chunky gameplay. It looks like it's set for 2018 release, but this is a huge nab for PS4.
It's a huge, because first off, Monster Hunter originated on Sony. It went to Nintendo. My question is does this mean that there is no longer Monster Hunter games on Nintendo? Because that's going to be huge for a lot of things, because you would hope with the Switch to be able to have a new Monster Hunter game, because those games are huge. I had that's one of the games I played a lot. Also, you got streamers like Eric's, who that's one of his big titles. You know that he's going to be all over this new version of Monster. And the way they allude to it, because all the Monster Hunter games are multiplayer based also as well, you can share experiences. This is Monster Hunter World. Is this an MMO or Destiny like Monster Hunter game? World. That's where my questions are. If so, this is another system seller.
Yeah. Yeah, because running into other people, because you train your monsters and all that stuff too, it plays into it as well, and engaging with them. Yeah, there's a lot of unanswered questions there, but what they showed looks slick.
So when I saw the preview of this game, I thought it was the sequel. I thought when I saw Shadow of Colossus, I'm like, oh, it's Shadow of Colossus 2! I was so excited. And then you realize it's just the HD version of Shadow of Colossus. So, but still, you're bringing back a classic, and it's coming from the PlayStation 3 era back into 2018, redeveloped by the same team, so you're going to see a lot of up-res graphics. But Shadow of Colossus is a really big deal. It's as if somebody's bringing Journey back again. So, I mean, it's those type of games that made PS3, so it's nice to see that PS4 owners have a shot to play them.
One of the things that I would love to see, and this is just coming from someone, it got me to buy a PlayStation, it got me to ask for a PlayStation 3 for a holiday gift. Where's SOCOM? Where is SOCOM? Give me a SOCOM game, please. I love those games.
Where's Bloodborne? Where's anything from id? Where? Okay. Where?
All right. Good.
Those were games that were all hidden. Well, and if you
2019, because if they were talking about all 2018 stuff, it must be at least that far out.
Shuhei, if you looked at Twitter today, Shuhei said they intentionally hid games. They on purpose held things back, which means Tokyo Game Show and Gamescom. So, or PSX. So these are all games that should be coming out or in the near future. I don't want to overshadow this too quickly, but Marvel vs. Capcom, The Infinite showed off a lot more characters, which was really important. There was a quick...
But that's on Xbox too.
There was a quick Call of Duty World War II multiplayer snapshot, but that's also because they have a lot of their ties to Sony, for at least for the third player stuff. And then some VR stuff, which was a snoozer, like in the middle of it, and everybody said that that was the snoozer of that. So, and then Detroit Become Human was shown, which for me this year was more like, that's the game, because last year was like, ooh, that's the game. And then this year when I saw more trailer, I'm like,
I got into that one either. It looked all right, but I don't know how much to get into that one.
There's the Rewind gameplay, and it's a David Cage gig, and so you know it's got to be really intricate, and he's going to have a ton of it's based off of Heavy Rain and those type the games that he created, where it has a lot of character development, a lot of story development, and it's going to be, we're lucky if we're going to see this game by 2019 by the time he's all finished up with it. But just the stuff that I saw last year was like really interesting. I'm like, oh, there's a tree and there's a dialogue tree and you can rewind it and things change. And you can do it this year too, but it just didn't look the same to me and it wasn't as exciting. as I had saw last year. But, I mean, still definitely interested, but I'm going to be more on the cautious side. And then you saw Arkham Light / Spider-Man. So Insomniac, I'm going to vouch, they f***ing killed it. Like, they really did. This game was amazing. Like, the graphics were stupid. The web slinging was stupid. The climbing and the going from place to place that looked like a PS3 game, but like up res was stupid. It had Arkham mechanic.
What about the ending? You got to get there. You got to talk about that little Easter egg.
The Easter egg was.
Everybody's freaking out.
We'll bring that up, but the Arkham mechanics were stupid too, because you could go person to person to person, and like, instead of doing the punch block move like Batman does, it was using the web slinging to either, you know, knock him down to the ground or throw him up in the air. You're able to use items in the environment and pull them or move them in order to do attacks, which I thought was ridiculous too. There was the plane scene, and then there was the chase scene, which was awesome to show the web slinging. It was like, okay, great. This is what New York City is going to look like. This is what web slinging looks like in 4K. Thank you. And then everybody's ready to leave. And so people keep getting up and getting down. It's like, it's this whole Marvel thing at the PS conference. And I'm like, oh, why is everybody keep getting up and getting down? Oh, that's right. Because at the end, they show Miles Morales at the tail end. And it's like, oh shit, there's Miles Morales. And you know that Spider-Man isn't Miles Morales because he calls himself Petey, which is okay, yeah. Because he also calls Wilson Fisk Willie, which I thought was awesome. It was like, okay, I thought that was cool. A really nice slide and just a jab. Like, I'm not going to call you by your real name. But man, that game. And so 2018, this is my Sea of Thieves call of my shot right now. This game is going to be shown again next E3 before it's out in October of next year. This game is, when they say 2018, nowhere near summer, spring, whatever. This is a fall 2018 game. They're going to show one.
Well, yeah, because it's a system seller. It is a complete system seller. You want this for holiday sales. I mean,
curated that game to that small section.
Yeah.
The problem I have is E3s with games. This is where Sea of Thieves needs to stay away from this area. Do not show this game again at another E3. Come out with it prior to E3, because you will fall victim to people going, okay, great, I'm done now. I'm done.
Yeah. Now, the thing about I watched a reveal of that stuff with IGN, and they're talking about it. Everybody's doing the breakdown, trying to figure out if it's going to be open world.
They showed the map. It's supposed to be double the size of what's the other Insomniac game that came out for Xbox? Sunset Overdrive. So it's double the size of Sunset Overdrive. Sorry, I blanked on it.
Yeah. Okay. Which is pretty substantial in size. The other thing about it is that if you notice the voice, this isn't your Sony TV or your movie. This isn't your young Spider-Man. This is obviously Spider-Man that's been around. The suit is very reminiscent of the new suit in the film. However, this is him as himself. Mm-hmm. This is him as an older mentor type. So the curiosity factor, and obviously when you see Miles, because Miles has other abilities like a sting, like he's got different fighting abilities that he is. Are we going to see an expansion or DLC content where he's the mentor to Miles Morales, and Miles Morales comes in and you get to play as his Spider-Man? Because you can't introduce that character at the end of that and not bring him in as a playable character.
Right. Or is that character a playable character at the start? Like, you get like one round with Peter Parker, and then you're like, all right, who do you want to play with? And you can actually opt in and out of them, engaging in different missions maybe. You only get XP with one or something along those lines. But yeah, that could be an interesting dynamic, because everything they showed there looked great, but throwing some more interesting dynamics into it could just solidify it strong.
On that note of throwing more interesting dynamics, I have something that plays into Chris's and my heart, is with every Spider-Man game that's come out, you've always had some ability to don the Venom suit. Do you feel that Venom is going to be in this? Or do you think they're going to sidestep that and come out with something completely for itself when the movie comes out?
This is a standalone game. I don't think it deals anything with Venom.
Okay. Well, the only thing I think where it does have some legs is that if Miles Morales is a playable character, then you that opens up the opportunity to introduce Venom as a third playable character in it, because you're basically taking it away from just being Peter Parker, if that's the case. So it does give them opportunity to do that even in the DLC.
And in the Batman Arkham games, you're able to get other characters to play as for different modes and stuff. So maybe they have some type of mode that, you know, you can play as other characters in the in that comic continuum.
So where we complained about Bethesda having a short E3, Nintendo had the same exact time frame. It was a half an hour, 25 minutes. Yet they came out swinging with full guns blazing. And it for most, the E3 conference that hit with the most impact would have been Nintendo. Because they came, they saw, they conquered, and they changed everything about what they were doing in about four or five different games. That is that whole Switch twist that they did to Breath of the Wild. It started with literally just the backdrop of Metroid. And so if you, and I, super excited. So you see Metroid Prime 4 announced. It's not been announced if it's done by the same creators of Metroid Prime. So we're unsure if that's the case. And we know that this is way far out. This is like, if they're dropping just the title screen, this is a 2-year away game. But yeah, what it says to Switch owners is, we have stuff coming. And so be ready. And we still haven't announced Smash. We still haven't announced Donkey Kong Country of any sort. We have two or three in our back pocket that we can pull out. Or Fox, if you really want to go deep down the rabbit hole. That game's not a system seller, but another game that's in the pipeline. Nintendo has those first-party games ready and available. And the fact that they held Smash and didn't even say a word about it says to me that this is a game where they're like, well, what are we not having come out in Q2? Okay, we're going to have that come out. So Metroid, to me, was a really big announcement.
People have been asking for it forever. I mean, the last Metroid that we had was a handheld title, which was, what was it, Metroid... it's where you like patrol or something like that, where you played as, I mean, it was kind of a stylized, cartoony style game, multiplayer game. So, I mean, this having something like this is a big
and
deal.
And Nintendo also pulled the old sleight of hand. We're not going to talk about anything that doesn't deal with 2017. Oh, wait a minute. The first thing we're going to announce when we talk about our conference is something that doesn't deal with 2017. So it was like, so what are we going to do to tell our core owners of Switch, stay with us, or the people who haven't bought Switch, hey boy, and ladies, guess what? We have more stuff coming. So like, you need to go buy it right now. And so the next game they talked about, again, a new Kirby, which is not a huge system seller, but it hits a market, and Kirby's a big name in Nintendo. And so they're talking about another Kirby game, which is another big deal. And then they're like, oh, so you like Breath of the Wild? Here's 1-1-2 punch. We're going to show you the first DLC of the Breath of the Wild, which was okay. Like, yeah. I mean, it showed you just, like, the basic of hard mode and whatever else is coming out. The musical thing I thought was pretty cool for the second DLC. Like, I thought that was more interesting and kind of a way outside the box thing for me. I don't know about you, KJ. I know you're into Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, the second part of it, I would like to send more, was coming out the second DLC. I was expecting it. One thing I did like about Trial of the Sword was they were pretty clear. You don't get any armor when you're doing the trial. Like, he was always in his underoos.
He had a stick.
Yeah. So it looks like it's really a trial where you're not bringing your equipment in there. It's what you get. You get to take either to the next trial, or what you're given in that trial is what you get to do that fight. So that looks like a really fun and difficult challenge to have tons of levels with that. So that looked cool. But one comment on the other stuff was like Kirby, and then we have to talk about Yoshi. One thing, my overall, and I'm the salty one on the Nintendo conference. I was watching some of the other conferences, and the Nintendo conference reminded me of the ID at Xbox Quick Spring. If you look at all the games on ID and Xbox, those were your third-party games, a bunch of side-scrollers, a little adventure stuff done with a small development team. Nintendo made an entire conference out of games that could have been shown in a 2-minute quick trailer at any other developer's conference. And that, to me, doesn't get me excited. Like, if you're just showing me simpler games with just big brands that another system or studio would have just, like, passed on, or because of the quality of the game in terms of, besides the characters you're playing at, what exactly the game is, It's like putting your entire conference around a Cuphead. A Cuphead looks fun and interesting, but you can't. It's not a system seller. It's just a there's a fun side scroller game. It's not your big. It's not your Anthem. It's not your Spider-Man. It's not these games where it has something a lot more to it. So for me, that was a really tough conference to get excited about. Besides the brands they talked about there, and the Zelda stuff for me was, you're not giving me a lot there, and stuff I already knew was coming. So.
But if you're a Nintendo fan, those smaller things are its bread and butter. Like, if you're going to play on a Switch, you want to play console exclusives that are things you know. The one complaint about the Nintendo conference is, well, they didn't show us any new IP. Well, it's Nintendo. They don't need to. They just need to hit on the four or five major characters that everybody knows, and it'll consistently. And the best thing about this is for Nintendo is every month up through December, they have a major title releasing. So every month, something else is coming out. So for the people who said, I don't have something to play on Switch, I don't know what you don't want to play anymore. Because you have Splatoon 2, you have Mario Odyssey, you've got a bunch of these titles that are going to be hitting the DLC for Breath of the Wild. Once a month, Xenoblade, I believe, is coming out in 2017 too. So every month you have something new coming out. And if you're a Nintendo owner, that's all you're asking for. Just give me something a month, one a month. I don't need 15 games, but I need one really good one. So, and that'll keep me satiated for at least another month.
You say good, but we know good brand. We don't know good game on any of this stuff, because right now we know the brand, we know the characters, but like that is not, if you're having just these one games here or there with the other consoles, and is you're getting tons of games dropping all the time with good ones mixed into it. Nintendo, you're getting like that one game every once in a while with the hope of it being good. And I just don't see them as being like as strong of games I've seen from these other conferences.
No, but the thing of it is Nintendo's quality is different too. So like when you get a Breath of the Wild, and I know this is DLC, you don't get something below a 9. If you get a Mario, you don't get something below a 9. If you get a Kirby, you don't get something below a 9. Like you know consistently, it might not be a 10, but you're going to get a 9. So yeah. I think that the amount of time they put into the games, you know, at least you're getting a quality game as versus something where it's like you're rolling the dice for a $60 game. So I think that's something different. I know Pokemon, the people that were really upset about the announcement earlier in the week about Sun and Moon were like, oh, what the hell is going on here? Like, thanks for announcing the same thing all over again on the 2DS. We really appreciate that. What they were doing was they were saving the fact that they have a brand new Pokemon RPG coming out. And then their announcement was, well, it's probably not coming out in 2018. I'm just giving you a heads up. It'll probably be more like 2019. But again, one, Pokemon players are super excited about the fact that a brand new Pokemon game's coming out. And two, if you're a Switch owner, more stuff coming out that's past 2018 and 2019. So like, this is the reason why I own this console. Give me a reason why I need to own it. These are the reasons. You have the back catalog and all of the new stuff that's coming out. So as a Switch owner, I'm like, whew, thank God you have more stuff coming out. I don't want to purchase this.
You don't want to.
Yeah, I don't want to Wii U experience. One thing that was not a secret and or surprise at all: Rocket League is coming to Switch and it's crossplay, except for Sony PlayStation. It's crossplay. Sony said that the reason is they don't have a reason. I would love to give you one, but they don't really have a legit and or good reason. Sony doesn't like fun. That's it, because Rocket League's a fun game. So
but the Minecraft, we're going to be even playing with self
people. That's owned by that's owned by Microsoft. So Microsoft forces Sony in order to play it on crossplay. Where this here, they have a say so in the matter. It's on like a Microsoft owned property.
Oh, Sony is included in
the crossplay for Minecraft. Yes, they're forced to be through Microsoft. This, they throw up two middle fingers and they're like, well, it's a little inconvenient, but we might. So if you're a Switch owner, this is a perfect game for Switch. I mean, in order to Rocket League is a perfect game to play on Switch, because you can cash carry this thing and play against other people while you're on the road. I would love to play Rocket League, and the games aren't very long. So like you can have these little quick games and play Rocket League. And for those guys over there, this game is just going to be the Bethesda version of an Elder Scrolls game for the rest of their lives with Rocket League. Game of show for I think it was at least four sites was Super Mario Odyssey. Getting to see that game in action, watching the hat swivel, watching the fact there's no clock. I was pumped about the fact there's no clock. You can discover...
I hate the clock in Mario
But
games.
You can discover this world now. When you can side-scroll, and when you side-scroll, you go 8-bit. In the Mario world. Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah, you like log a wall. Like,
oh, go. You flip, go 8-bit, and then literally go 8-bit, like old-school Nintendo Mario, and then flip back again. You can throw the hat on bullet bills and on other items, so you can use them to climb, move. I mean, there's time limits to certain things, but still, there's coins. The coins can be used to purchase in-game clothing in order to change your hats or whatever clothes you're wearing for Mario. This game's going all out. Like, this is taking Breath of the Wild and flipping it. And taking Mario and flipping it. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's taking those characters and kind of... So, for better or for worse, this game might fall flat on its flipping face. But it's trying something new with Mario. And
trying
and
to innovate with
I
Mario.
I appreciate
that's cool.
So, I really, really appreciate that.
Right. Because one of the biggest things Breath of the Wild did, it wasn't like one thing. It was allowing people to play any way they wanted. Not bound by clock, not bound by map, not bound by anything. You can... do anything you want. I want to beat it this way. Good on you. Beat it that way. I want to do this way. Good on you. Do it that way. You are not bound by anything to how to play the game. And it seems like Mario is taking the exact same lead. And that's going to be huge because when you're given all these walls in the games, it's fun on story games because, okay, I want this game to tell me a story and I don't want to lose the story following it through in games that are along those lines. When there is no story to the game, or the story is just a really short one that you can grab pieces whenever it's ready to, it doesn't matter how you play it. Just go out, have fun, and try to do stuff in crazy different ways. And if you see something, I want to do that, you're not game breaking. You're not cheating. It's part of the game. They want you to try to break stuff and do stuff a different way because it's built in for you to be able to do that and have fun. And hey, if you got a shortcut, good on you. You enjoy your shortcut.
We talked about Xenoblade Chronicles 2. That's going to be a 2017 game. People thought that was going to be pushed to 2018. But, you know, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, not bad for having out in 2017. If you consider the fact that you're going to have that, Mario Odyssey, as well as having Splatoon 2, those three major titles coming up in the next 4 months, that's for Nintendo, that's a huge deal.
Yeah, and I bought the first Xenoblade, and it was the last game I have serious buyer's remorse for. I saw, I think it was Gathalion playing it, and I'm like, man, that game looks awesome. Giant monsters, big mechs, all this attack, and like, oh, that thing's like so many levels above me, but it's right there. I might be able to get it later, and building up your character and all those RPG elements. And then I found out it's auto attack. If you know what auto attack is, it's basically, I want to attack this. You tell your character to attack it, and all you can do is maybe move it around the battlefield, but all the attacks are auto-controlled. By the first button, attack that one. Mm-hmm. And it does all these crazy Japanese yells the entire time it's attacking, which gets extremely annoying. The music is extremely annoying. But I could have done with the yells and the music part if the gameplay was fun, and it so wasn't. The world was beautiful. The monsters were creative and awesome. I would have been great if I could have just let me press the buttons and do the action instead of just sitting there and waiting for it to be done and hope I win. I hated it.
The last game that I want to talk about that Nintendo showed was the new Yoshi game. Had a very Paper Mario feel to it in the sense of what it looked like aesthetically. However, it was still a side-scroller, so still coins, still doing everything that you do in Yoshi's. Kind of Yoshi's worldly world, but like still, but kind of dumbed down a little bit in more of a side scroller game. What are your guys' thoughts about the new Yoshi?
My thoughts on the new Yoshi. I wasn't gonna actually mention something on there. You mentioned about the Paper Mario and side scrolling, and I had some trivia to toss in with Nintendo stuff, and I wanted to see if you guys knew this. Do you guys know, this was brought up about the original Mario, what the blocks are?
Blocks? No.
The blocks and the plants in Super Mario are the people. That's why you don't see people. There's the toadstools, but the humans, Koopa turned them into blocks and the fungi that are in there. So that when you're breaking a block, you're taking out a person.
Interesting.
That was in the original instruction manual for Super Mario, which also goes back to make you wonder about the Super Mario film.
The director
took that, and people didn't realize that. And then now people are going back, going, "Oh, maybe even though the guy was crazy,
the
guy and wife were crazy, they're like, maybe he actually had something here." So that's just a little trivia.
Interesting. Yeah, but if you go back to read any of those old lore books in some of those games, they were just coming up with crazy stuff. They had no clue that we were going to be using that as canon 30 years later.
All right, so we're going to wrap up really quick and talk about Fortnite.
Yeah, so Fortnite, God, it's been in development hell for like ever and a day, it seems. Epic's been having a real hard time trying to come back after. Once they lost Gears of War, it's like, what are we going to come up with? Fortnite was announced as what they were going to come up with. It started off being really dark and gritty. And now it's got more of a kind of a fun, stylized approach to it. Originally, it was only going to release on PC. Then they were saying it's going to release on Sony. Now it's releasing on consoles and PC. It's coming out actually here this month, and I'm excited about it. It's a open world mission-based survival / fort builder, kind of a la 7 Days to Die. It's going to be $40 for the standard edition, although you can get a founder's set, which we're actually celebrating my son's birthday right around the same time that this comes out. So we're getting this one founder set you can get for $150. It gives you a ton of stuff with it, like all the collector's edition, all that stuff, but also gives you two standard edition copies of the game on top of the collector's edition.
Oh, copy. So you get multiple copies.
So you get three. So you get three copies of the game. So in this household, I'm like, for $150, I'm like, that is awesome, because I would have had to have got it anyway. But the game itself just looks fun. It looks fun. It's definitely going to be like, I feel this summer there's enough games coming out and things marked for release that it's the Destiny fillers. It's the stuff that's going to give you your fun experience over the summer to get some games in and just kind of be carefree up until that September 6th mark. But yeah, Fortnite looks awesome. Check it out. Some gameplay online. It's class-based. You have ninjas, you have constructors. You can do construction on the fly when you have a different attacks coming in just to like create a shield to protect your main base. The fact that it's large open world exploration mission based is really cool too. So that's just something that, you know, if you like four player co-op games, check it out.
Now, we're finishing up Hype Train. It was all E3 stuff, 'cause that's where basically all the news was coming from. And so we didn't focus on hardly anything else, and we'll focus on any other TV or movie stuff in weeks to come. But instead of moving into a normal segment of This Week in Geek, with Faust not being here, we changed up the rules a little bit. And there was a question asked in another podcast I listened to. It was a would you rather question. And I want to pose it to the gentleman right here. So think about this answer. Would you rather tell Harrison Ford he can never fly a plane again or tell him he looks silly with an earring? What would you rather do?
Okay, being a guy who still has piercing holes from earring, I would never tell him he looks silly with an earring.
So you tell him he can never fly
a plane. So I would tell him he can never fly a plane, and then I would be jumping up so that I don't get shot underneath the table.
Right. Chris?
I'll go with the never fly a plane again, only never because of previous incidences. I don't think he should be flying any planes anytime in the near future.
Yep. See, on the earring, because I'm like, dude, like, he looks so damn silly. I want to tell him so bad. Like, I know personal safety and public safety is the airplane thing, but my God, that man looks so silly with his earrings. All right.
Harrison Ford, if you're listening to this, Derek's opinions are his own.
I think they're both. Like, when I heard that question, that was a tough one for me, because I was like, man, I need to get that guy out of the sky. But man, he's been wearing that earring a long time and it's been looking silly a long time in public.
And thinks he looks really cool. So,
yes, and thinks he looks cool with it. Come on. All right. So now it's time to sign off. You can find me at Caucasian Sate, all one word, on Twitter. Chris, where can we find you?
Two Wolves, TWOWLVZZ. And you find me on Twitter as well.
You can find me, Mr. Damian Nash, all one word, on Twitter. You can find me also Manning the Geekologist Twitter page, usually late nights. That's going to be Geekologist Radio minus T for character restrictions. You can email us at geekologist@ninjapancake.com. And find us on the web, geekologistradio.com, queuedupmedia.com, and ninjapancake.com.
Man, you can find us anywhere.
You can. You literally can. You type us up. I mean, you, if you're on Xbox, if you listen to while you just like say, oh, I don't have a phone, I don't have this, and you have an Xbox, go on there. You can get the podcast app. You type in Geekologist Radio. We're there.
You type in geek, we're there. You type in what's in my Netflix queue, we're there. If you type in what's good for breakfast, we're there.
Ooh, new segment. Breakfast tacos at Cajun's house. All the time. That's good for breakfast.
So, for episode number 43, we are creeping up to that episode 50. We are out.
I don't know the names.
You're talking.
I don't know the name of the characters. It doesn't matter. I know enough to know that I'm interested.
Nice.
And my first question was, where's Ruby Rose?
Of
course. She's not in the season, so I was really upset. I'm like, where's Ruby Rose? I only know the name. That's what I told my wife. I'm like, I only know the name.
This is totally going into the end. You know Brad is going to put this at the end of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
All right.